All right, if you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to begin reading there in verse 9. I want to talk to you this morning about justification, but not just about justification, about some things that relates to that and the need for justification, the source, and so forth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 9, the Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Those are wonderful verses because they draw a contrast between that which we were in the flesh and how God saw us in our flesh and how God sees us today in His Son, Jesus Christ. It's interesting when he lists all those things in 9 and 10 that he doesn't say you repented from those things and walked away from them. He just simply said in verse 11, "Such were some of you." Well, what happened? He said you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You know, it's wonderful to be washed, it's wonderful to be sanctified, and it's wonderful to be justified. To be justified means that we have been found innocent of all charges. I was looking at some definitions by different people as far as justification is concerned, and I wrote down a couple of them. Number one, justification is said to be the process by which sinful human beings are made acceptable to a holy God. It's a process. And it's a process by which sinful humans, that is you and I, are made acceptable to a holy God. Paul said in Ephesians 1:6 that we've been made acceptable, we've been accepted in the beloved. And then another definition is that justification is God's declaration that the demands of His law have been fulfilled by the righteousness of His Son. Now think about that. We talked about this morning in Sunday school about obedience and how obedience to the law was absolutely necessary for the blessings that were associated with Israel. And when they obeyed, they were given the blessings. When they disobeyed, they were given the curse. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ became a curse for us, so that we are not under the curse of the law, neither are we under the blessings that were associated with keeping the law. Our blessings are in Christ Jesus. And so it is that it is God's declaration in His Word that the demands of the law have been fulfilled in the righteousness, the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. Go with me, if you will, back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, I think of all the doctrines in the Bible that relate to our salvation, whether it be the washing, the sanctification, the glorification, I think justification is one of the greatest doctrines that we find in the Bible because it does speak to the fact that we as sinners who deserve hell, who deserve God's wrath, are in a place where we have been accepted into the family of God. We have a standing before God Almighty as sons of God because we've been adopted into the family with all the privileges, all the blessings that come with being a son of God. Israel were His chosen, and He chose them to be a great people. But Israel failed. Israel failed to do that which God asked them to do. And they rejected His Son, Jesus Christ, when He came as their Messiah. Because they rejected Him, God raised up the Apostle Paul. And Paul said that he is the Apostle of the Gentiles. "I magnify mine office," he said. Also, Paul said the dispensation of the grace of God was given to him to usward, and that it was a mystery. And so today we are living in the dispensation of the grace of God. That is a period of time in which God is dispensing grace toward mankind. He's not operating on the basis of the law. He's not cursing people today because they refuse to keep the law. Well, listen, if he was cursing people today because they weren't keeping the law, everybody would be under a curse. But Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, in Romans chapter 8, in verse 30, the Bible says, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." Justification. Look back in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 3 and 4, Paul goes through a detailed explanation of our redemption in Christ, the fact that God is not imputing our trespasses, and that Christ was delivered for our offenses. As a matter of fact, Romans 4:25, he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for what? Our justification. Our justification. God Almighty could not have justified us without the three components there, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. He was raised again for... excuse me. He was raised again for our justification. Then, chapter 5. Let me recommend, I mention this quite often, but when you're reading the Scriptures, ignore the numbers most of the time. Because when Paul wrote this, he didn't get down to verse 25 and then say, okay, now we're going to start chapter 5. That was what those that put it in the Bible did. This is a continuing letter. So I want you to think about that as we read verse 4, move right into chapter 5, verse 1. Let's read verse 25 again. "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So when you take those two verses together, he was raised again for our justification. That's his part. That's God's part. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Then you get down to verse 8. "But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Now, in Romans 5 then, we have two statements about justification. Number one is, we're justified by faith. And he also says, we're justified by his blood. Look over in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And I want you to notice, first of all, before we look at justification by his blood and by faith, the need for justification. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Again, in Sunday school, we mentioned that about where the origin of sin was. If you look over in verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." You see, God would have been unjust, folks, if he had not provided a means whereby we could also be made righteous. Because you were born a sinner. You didn't have any choice in that. You didn't have any choice into the family you were born. You didn't have any choice into the country you were born in. And you didn't have any choice as far as the fact that you were born in sin. All that came about through Adam. That one man, Adam. "Wherefore, it's by one man sin entered into the world." And it's a terrible teaching when people teach that a person becomes a sinner when they commit their first sin. And the reason people teach that is so they can do the reverse of it and say a person becomes righteous when they quit sinning. Well, if that's the case, nobody ever be made righteous, because ain't nobody ever quit sinning. By one man's sin, by one man's disobedience, it says, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That's what had to occur. The righteousness had to occur for us to be justified. Look back in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, Paul is dealing there with the Jew and Gentile. And he says there in verse 1, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way. Now here was their advantage. Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. In other words, Israel had the word of God, they had the law, they had the advantage at that time. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Look in verse 9 then. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. Now notice the blanket condemnation here. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And Paul goes down through there and lists all the things about the sinfulness of mankind. And when you get down to verse 19, he says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Notice that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Then by the law, the world was pronounced guilty. The law was a picture of God's righteousness. And we read this morning, when Israel was given that law, they said, God has said it, and we will obey. We will keep it. But we know they didn't. So down in verse 20, what does Paul say? Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Then the need for justification, folks, is that mankind was in a lost condition. Now, God provided salvation through the nation Israel up until the point that they rejected Him for the last time there in Acts, and then He saved the Apostle Paul. And so today, we have salvation that was never found prior to the revelation given to our Apostle, the Apostle Paul. Now, if you would look back to Romans chapter 5, and notice there in verse 9, much more then, being now justified by His blood. Justified by His blood. You see, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. In the Old Testament, there was the sacrificial system where if a person sinned through ignorance, they could bring a sacrifice, and there was all kinds of sacrifices, and it was a complex, bloody system of redemption through animals. But the picture there is that when the blood was shed, God did not see the sin, He saw the blood, and it was a foreshadowing of the blood of Jesus Christ that would be shed for all men. Thus, Paul said in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I know many years ago there was a big move in much of religion to try to remove the blood from the message. As a matter of fact, there was a Bible that was put out, I guess probably in the late 50s, early 60s maybe. I know I had one of them. It was called Good News for Modern Man. Any of you ever see one of those or read one? It was a New Testament, and that was the title of it. The Southern Baptist Church gave out millions of them free of charge. And that's how I had one. And so that's what I read from all the time. I later found out that there was not one mention of blood in that Bible revision. Every one of them had been taken out. There was one particular denomination, they removed the blood from all of the hymnals. Every song that had blood in it, there's power in the blood. Every song that mentioned blood was taken out of the hymnals. Listen, folks, I know we don't talk about it probably enough, but Jesus Christ shed His blood on Calvary, and that blood is what covered and paid for your sins. And without that blood, there would be no forgiveness of sins because God demanded a blood sacrifice. And Jesus Christ became that sacrifice. And thus, He says, then being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Look back in chapter 3 again. In Romans chapter 3. In Romans 3, verse 21, but now, he says, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, notice now, through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare at this time His righteousness that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. It was through His shed blood that we have redemption. It was through His blood that our sins were paid for. It was the sacrificial offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, I heard a very famous preacher on radio one day read this verse. And I was driving the car, had my Bible laying there in the seat next to me. And Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. When the man read the verse out of the Bible he was reading out of, it said, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. And I thought, he misread that. But he didn't misread it because he went on to say, and if I called his name, you know who it was, probably heard him on radio. He went on to say that it was not through the blood of Christ that we were redeemed. It was simply through His death. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Don't ever take lightly the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for you and I. Because without that shed blood, there would be no justification. There would be no salvation. Thus, Paul said, we are justified by His blood. But here, back in Romans chapter 3, we find not only are we justified by His blood, he says we're justified by His grace. You see, there's three things he says we're justified by, and it's not that they're different. It's just different elements of how our justification came about. For example, he says there in Romans 5, we read, in Romans 5, 9, much more then being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. But in Romans chapter 3, he talks about redemption through the blood of Christ, faith in His blood. But he also says up there, being justified, Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, it was a gift. Grace is God's unmerited favor. So there was the need for salvation. Then that need was that all men were sinners. And there were people that were outside the covenants of promise made with Israel. There were those Gentiles that were never going to bless Israel. And so through God's grace, he opened the door of salvation to all men. And he says there that we are justified freely by his grace. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and it not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them. Now, we read those verses an awful lot, but the next verses are very important because they speak to the fact that people like you and I, had it not been for Christ dying on that cross and then giving Paul the revelation of the mystery, there would have been no salvation for people like you and I. Back in Genesis chapter 12, God Almighty told Abraham, he said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to bless your seed. That was an unconditional promise that God made with Abraham in relation to the nation Israel. And he said, I'll bless your seed and I'll bless those that bless you. When God made that promise was never fulfilled. But it will be yet fulfilled in the future. Now, in the covenant of the law, the blessings of that covenant were always conditional. If you will obey, and that, then I'll make of you a great nation, and so forth. But the covenant made with Abraham was an unconditional covenant. Thus, what you find in your Bible many times, we read about one of them this morning, when Saul was given the charge to go over there and kill the Amalekites, he warned one group to get out of town, if you will, because he said they had helped the nation Israel. Rahab the harlot's another example of that. She helped Israel. A woman over in Matthew 15, she took a position of subjection to Israel. In Luke chapter 7, there's a man that comes and beseeches the Lord for a servant. I think it is. And they said, he said, and basically, what has this Gentile done? And they said, he's built a synagogue. So there was salvation to Gentiles that blessed Israel. As a matter of fact, Matthew 25 speaks to that. It talks about Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. And they said, when did we do this? And he said, as much as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact, folks, that there was always salvation available to Gentiles through the nation Israel, but there were Gentiles that hated Israel and that were hated by Israel. That's what you have when you read about the church at Ephesus, that church that Paul's writing to when he writes the letter of Ephesians. And he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. We are justified by His blood. We're justified by His grace. Now notice the explanation of that in verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, you Gentiles, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. Now they were not without Christ because they were worshiping the temple of Diana and that kind of thing. They were without Christ. Notice why he says, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Then there must have been some privilege of being associated with the commonwealth of Israel. And there was. But these Gentiles were not associated with they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. And they were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You're reading about a group of people right there, folks, that are just like everybody in this auditorium right here, everybody under the sound of my voice. They were Gentiles who were outside the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. And that's what he says. But notice verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We are saved, we are justified by His blood, we are justified by His grace. You see, the very fact that He would shed His blood for people like you and I was a gift of grace. It is God's grace, His unmerited favor. I mean, think about that. People that were dead in trespasses and sins, back in verse 1, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And yet today, if you're saved, you stand before God Almighty just as though you had never committed one single sin. You're justified. Why? Because your blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, covered all of your sin. It paid for all of them. Therefore, we're justified by His blood and we're justified by His grace in the dispensation of the grace of God. Now in Christ Jesus, verse 13 again, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. You see, that was the work that God did. Look back in Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. In Acts 13, Paul is preaching there in the synagogue, and there are primarily Jews there, but there's others there as well. In verse 16, Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand and said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. Notice down in verse 38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Now here's something new. And by him all that believe, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. I was watching a program last night, and it was they were talking there about suicide. And in the interviews, it was evident that people, there were certain people that believed that a person that committed suicide, as does some churches, that that person could not be saved. Well, I just want you to explain to me what sin would not be included under all. All sin. You see, people don't understand that when a person is saved, that person's sins, they were under the blood of Jesus Christ, they're not imputed. All sins are forgiven. They are sealed under their redemption, and that never changes. Say, but what if so-and-so does thus? It doesn't change. What you do, let me ask you something. How can you in your flesh change what God did 2,000 years ago? You can't do it. If your salvation, your sealing, your accepting in the blood, your justification, all was based on what Christ did at the cross, how can what you do in your stinking, rotten, no good flesh ever change that? It can't. At this point, we all ought to be up on the pews raising our hands, shouting hallelujah. I mean, come on, folks. That's some good news. You know, I remember years ago, I kind of had this epiphany. I hear about all these churches. I went to one time, and all these people up there shouting and hollering and going on. It was a Pentecostal-type church. And the preacher got up and started preaching, talking about people losing their salvation if you didn't hold fast and if you got involved in sin and everything. And I thought, what are these people so happy about? I wouldn't be very happy if I thought I could lose my salvation. Would you? I mean, come on, folks. We got something to rejoice about. Our sins are forgiven. We're justified. The blood of Christ has cleansed us from all sin. All sins, we're forgiven from all sin. Does that mean we ought to go out and just live in sin? No, but we ought to rejoice in who we are and what we have in Christ Jesus. We are justified, just as though we never sinned. Now, some of y'all probably aren't as bad a sinner as I am, and therefore you don't have great appreciation for it. But if you had to live in this body, you'd really appreciate salvation by grace. We're justified. He said, from all things. So, what is the reason for justification? All men are sinners. What is the means of justification? We're justified by His blood. We're justified by His grace. And we're justified by faith. Look back in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, remember he's referring back to verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses, was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're justified by faith. And as we mentioned last week, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this because we talked extensively about the faith of Jesus Christ. Let's just read a couple of verses there, bring to our remembrance. In Galatians chapter 2, you see, it is, our faith is of utmost importance, what we believe, what we're trusting in. But it's evident in the Scriptures that the salvation comes through the faith of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Then where's our justification? It's in what Christ did. And without going back through all the Scriptures, we looked at Scriptures last time where Jesus Christ submitted Himself to the will of God. He said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of the Father. That's what the faith of Christ was about. Jesus Christ walked by faith. Jesus Christ died by faith. God raised Him up from the dead. And it's by faith that we're justified. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, faith and grace excludes all of man's work, all of his doings. Look back, if you will, to Psalms chapter 51. Psalms 51. If you've never preached before, just give you a little insight. The fear that is struck in your heart when you look down at this verse and it don't say what you thought it was going to say. And it was doing that because I was in Isaiah, not Psalms. Psalms 51. Notice verse 1. There's a great principle here. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Now notice next verse. Against Thee, Thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in Thy sight, that Thou mightest be justified when Thou speakest, and be clear when Thou judgest. You see, Paul said in Romans chapter 2, there was going to come a day when we were going to be judged according to His gospel. Man cannot justify you because you didn't sin against man. The Bible says, against Thee and Thee only have I sinned. Then the source of our justification has to be from God Almighty, our Heavenly Father. But it was through the work that His Son Jesus Christ did at Calvary. I want you to go back to Deuteronomy 25. I was reading these passages as I was doing the study that we covered in Sunday school this morning, and I came across this passage. And it just, I think it presents a picture here. In Deuteronomy 25, the Bible says, if there be a controversy between men, and they come unto judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. In other words, this was part of the law system. And if two people came before the judges were to judge them, and they would justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. Verse 2, and it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face according to his fault by a certain number. 40 stripes he may give him and not exceed. You remember how many times you read about somebody was given 39 stripes? It was so that they would not miscount and exceed the 40 number under the law. 40 stripes he may give him and not exceed, lest if he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes, then thy brother should seem vile unto thee. Seemed like to me it'd be vile before 40. But anyway, I want you to get the picture here. Jesus Christ was the sinless Son of God. But you know what happened to Jesus Christ? He was wrongly judged by mankind. The Bible says if there's a controversy between men and they come into judgment, that the judges may judge them, then shall they justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. In the case of Jesus Christ, who was condemned? The one that was righteous. But notice what happened. It shall be if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, the judges shall cause him to lie down and be beaten before his face. The Lord Jesus Christ was beaten. His back was beaten to bloody shred. The one that was righteous. The one that in man's eyes deserved the judgment was actually the righteous one. But he took the beating for the wicked. We're the ones that deserve to be beat. We're the ones that deserve to go to the cross. We were the guilty. But Jesus Christ took the beating for you and I. You see, man's judgment is not always just, but God's always is. And thus the Bible says, God made him, his only begotten Son. God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, talking about Christ, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We deserve the beating. Christ took it. We deserve death. Jesus Christ died. And not only did he die, but the Bible says he was raised again for our justification. Look over in Romans chapter 4. We'll conclude. Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, verse 1, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath wherewith to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You see, it is our faith in his faith whereby we are counted for righteousness. Back in Romans 3:26, a verse we read a moment ago, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. You know why it had to be his righteousness, folks? Because according to Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, the Bible says that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And our righteousness never would cut it. It would never make us acceptable. But God, His righteousness, did for us what we could never do for ourselves. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad this morning that your sin is taken care of? The sin is forgiven. You're justified. You're glorified. You're sanctified. You're just as though you've never sinned. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses. Be ye reconciled to God, Paul said. So if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know how easy it is? Right there where you're sitting. If you're listening over the internet, there in your home, wherever you might be, right this very moment, reckon in your heart and mind that Jesus Christ, when He hung on that cross and died for your sins, that satisfied God Almighty. If God was satisfied with what Christ did, why couldn't you be? Well, I am, and I hope you are. And if you never have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, right this moment, why don't you do that? Say, well, what should I pray? You don't have to pray anything, but if you want to pray, go ahead and pray. But it's not a prayer that saves you. It's when you in your heart, soul, and mind believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried and rose again the third day, and you trust in that alone for your salvation, God Almighty at that instant will save you and seal you unto the day of redemption, and you'll be justified. You'll be just as though you never sinned. And you can't beat that. That's a wonderful, glorious truth. Would you stand me for prayer? Father, we thank you this morning for the glorious truth of your word and all that we have in you. We thank you for justification by grace, by faith, and by your blood. We thank you that it is ours because it's been imputed to us. And we stand today not in our own righteousness, but in yours, rejoicing in all that you have done for us and all that we have in you. If there's one here today or one listening by other means that's never trusted you as their Savior, right now I pray that they would do that, realizing their need, that they're a sinner, and that you paid for all their sins on Calvary. And help them to trust you right now as their Savior for Christ's sake. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. I appreciate you being here today. We're dismissed.